rolling on the road?
There's no SD card in it. We'll cross our fingers. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 3-2-2 of the Spearhead Sundays podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Spears. I am performing in Melbourne from April 9 until April 21, every single night except for Monday. Then I'm in Sydney on the 10th of May and the 11th of May, and then I'm in Adelaide on the 28th of June. Adelaide's almost sold out, Sydney's filling up, and I think that first weekend in Melbourne is almost full. So get your tickets now, lewspears.com. I want to see you there. Perth was incredible. Thank you to everyone who came out. More dates will be announced soon. We're organizing them as we speak. Stop asking me about it. It's happening. Are you coming to? Yes. Oh, please come and see me in Beirut. I'm organizing it. I'll be in Beirut. I'm not going to go to Beirut, but you know what I mean? If it's a major city in Australia, yeah, I'm coming, all right? I'll be there. And if you're asking when I'm going to be in Perth, you're an idiot. You missed it, okay? You know I've already got those messages. Oh, dude, when are you coming to Perth? I just did it! All right, now I'm here. I'm happy to be home. Please go and check out the episode with Amos Gill. It's really funny. Whenever I do a guest episode, all of you guys are like, nah, I like Lewis by himself. For fuck's sake, go and watch Amos Gill. It's very funny. It's one of my favorite episodes. Keelan, You've stolen from me.
Oh no!
What do you mean? What? You know what you've done? All right, I'm sick of it. You steal from me a lot, and all the time you've stolen from me, and I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm not letting it happen again. What do you mean? What did you steal? This is a premeditated thievery that you've done. He's sweating. All right, he knows exactly what he's done. All right, you and I, when I was in Perth, we had a fitness competition going on, okay? Yeah,
yes.
And you beat me.
Destroyed.
Yeah, okay?
Annihilated.
And I did quite a few workouts while I was on holiday. When I challenged you, you were like, oh no, I'm on holiday, you're going to beat me. And I went, well, I'm also going to be in Perth, so don't worry about it, man. We're on an equal playing field, okay?
Yeah.
You absolutely fucking trashed me. And yes. I thought, how has he done this? Because I was swimming, I was gymming. I went to Rottnest. Yeah, you know what you've done. I went to Rottnest Island and I biked 10 kilometers and you still trashed me in the fitness competition. So I went, what the fuck is this absolute Terminator machine doing while he's on holiday? You logged every single time you were walking outside.
Yes. I did a pub crawl through Brisbane.
And you logged that as a workout. Mate, saving money on Uber is not an exercise. That's not in the spirit of the competition. Because I was walking around everywhere as well. I didn't fucking log it.
That sucks.
I did about 20,000 steps a day. You think when I get up on stage, I should hit outdoor workout?
Yes, and I've been telling you that for years.
That's bullshit. That's not a workout. That's traveling. You're going somewhere and you don't have a workout.
You're walking.
No.
Yes.
No. That's a coincidental workout. If I was at the movies and then all of a sudden a guy walked in with a gun and I had to sprint for my life, I'm not going to stop and log a workout because I was sweating, all right? That's me running for my life. If I was at the movies and I thought I would like to go for a jog here, and then I got on my workout gear and I was like, this is a workout for me, then I can log it.
To be fair.
No, it wasn't fair.
In the mornings, I was going for walks,
proper
actual 2-3 kilometer
and
walks.
I've got no problem with that. You can log those. Walk to the gym, I log that as a workout because I'm in workout mode.
Exactly.
But if I'm just walking around the city because I took public transport there, it's not a workout, even if your heart rate goes up, because that's not the intended goal. All right? If a tsunami hit and I had to swim a few kilometers to save my life, it's not a workout.
If it helps, yesterday I went for a 1 kilometer swim and didn't track it.
Well, that would be good if our competition was still running. See, this is the problem that I have. Every time we have a competition running, Keelan logs all of his walks.
That's what you do.
No, it's not. You log all your workouts. This is, you're walking.
It counts.
No.
It's a long
then,
distance
Then how
walk.
Come you only do this when we're in a competition?
I do it all the time. Oh, okay, no, that's, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I only do it when we're in a competition.
See, this is my problem, all right? it's not in the spirit of the competition.
Let's do it again. Let's do another fitness competition this mm-hmm. week.
Yeah, okay.
I'm home, you're home.
Yeah.
I don't have anything on. Are you all right. busy?
No, I'm not busy. The only thing I have is a few kilometer walks on.
Or 500 meter walks.
Yeah, this guy, I was going through, because it's not like you just beat me. You like tripled my points. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And he was just walking like you do when you're on holiday and you don't have a car.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I also did that. And I would have done it more than you because...
Probably.
Because I was just by myself.
No, because I was at Movie World and Sea World and... I was in Brisbane.
Like, okay, cool. All right. Well, if we eliminated both of our walks, I would have trashed you because I worked out more.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was only working out in the morning at the hotel.
Yeah. See, you just it's not in the spirit of the competition. Yeah. Okay. And you know what shits me? There's a lifetime tracker of all of our fitness competitions, and you've beat me three times as many times as I've beaten you, and I know for a fact at least half of those you trash me with walks, and it's not in the spirit of the competition.
All right. Okay, we're gonna start. I'm gonna challenge you today. We're gonna start tomorrow.
Yeah,
and next week we record. We can update.
And every time I see a walk pop up, I'm gonna go send me a photo of what you're wearing. If you're in jeans, it doesn't count. This is my problem. If you're in jeans. You can't log it as a workout. You have to be in shorts.
Well, I've been going for a swim at 7 a.m. and then an hour-long gym session at 9 a.m. every day. So I will just destroy you.
That's absolutely false because I'm the fittest man alive. You know, I went to Rottnest Island and on the website, Rottnest Island is like the spot to go. I was in Perth for 2 weeks and it's like the tourist thing. It's an island. There's no cars allowed there, and it's been untouched by humans for a really long time, is what the colonizers want you to believe. There are a lot of indigenous people that used to be there, and they're no longer there. But, right, they've got these little things called quokkas that are like little rats with hands and the lower half of a kangaroo, and they have had no predators for so many millions of years that they don't know what danger is. It's fascinating to interact with these little critters and like, cause you know, like a bird or even like a domesticated cat, every now and then it'll be like, whoa, you trying to kill me? Cause they're prey. Like it doesn't matter how friendly you are to your cat. You can make a sudden movement or drop something and it'll be like, you're going to kill me. Yeah. I've never, even a dog will do this as well. Like your dog that you've never hit ever. You've only ever been nice to it. You can drop something or make a sudden movement and you'll scare it. These quokkas, they just have no concept of danger. You know, like you'll make a sudden move. They'll be like, what are you doing, man? Can I have a look? Can I smell that? They crawl all over you. They get in your face and they just want to touch you. I sat down and there's signs everywhere that says don't touch them. And I didn't touch them. They touched me. I didn't touch them with my hands because humans carry disease on their hands. They touched me. All right. And I just sat down in the dirt, like on a trail somewhere away from all the people. And I was riding and all these quokkas just came over and started crawling all over me and sniffing me and going, what's up, dude? And I was just thinking, man, I could kill you. And they're like, what's killing? I've never seen anything like that in my life. It's like quokkas, I feel like, are what human beings are supposed to get to at some point. Where if we can finally evolve enough past violence and past hurting each other, that we're all just crawling around looking for nuts and going, what's up, dude? Having a good day? Best day ever. How about you? Yeah, man, really good. The problem with that, though, is that some dickhead introduced snakes to the island. So every now and then a snake will come and kill a quokka. Will be like, hey, man, what's going on? Long fella? Should we be... Ah, what's this? I didn't know I could die or be killed. I thought old age was the only thing that got me. Oh, no. And the snake's like, dude, you weren't. Why would you come and say hello to me? I'm a snake. I thought we were mates. Have you ever told off someone else's kids before?
No.
No?
No.
Bro, I did. For the first time in my life, I told off someone else's kids at Rottnest Island.
Go.
All right? Chinese tourists. Okay? Now, Chinese people, they aren't known for their respect of animals. Say Say what you... I love Chinese people. They're great at math. When it comes to respecting the bodily autonomy of another animal or going, maybe subjecting a creature to pain is wrong. It's not what they're known for. You know? Like, I would say maybe the only Asian race that is known for how they treat animals is like the Buddhists. They're not a race, but you know what I mean? Culturally, the only Asian culture that's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't boil something alive or keep it in a cage in a market and use pain to enhance the flavor. It's just Buddhist. Chinese guys are like, if it moves, I'll eat it alive. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? So this Chinese family, and they're trying to get selfies with quokkas. And I got some, of course, but I'm like being mindful of the rules. I'm not getting too close to them. I don't want to touch them with my hands. I'm not handling them. I'm trying to respect their autonomy and keep my distance. Chinese family is like literally fucking picking them up off the ground and holding them for photos. This is the parents. And then their kids are jabbing them with fucking sticks. Poking them, like chasing them and hitting them with sticks. And the quokkas are like, aren't we friends? What's going on? What's pain? Right? So I walk up to this Chinese family, these two little six-year-olds, poking them with fucking sticks, you know? Like if you get them in the eye, you're going to kill it. It's just going to get an infection and fucking die. And I was just like, hey, don't fucking touch them with sticks. You ever sworn at a six-year-old that doesn't speak English? I feel like the swearing, if they spoke English, is bad, but because they were Chinese, they didn't speak English. It's okay to swear at a six-year-old. I just went, hey, don't fucking touch them with sticks. Mm. And they're like, oh, what? I'm like, yeah, don't. There's signs everywhere that say, don't touch them with your hands. You're poking them with sticks. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And they got really scared and they moved away, undoubtedly to jab other quokkas out of sight. But it felt good. Because I don't know, it's like I was riding around the island and it was pissing me off because it's this like relatively, right? I know it's a tourist attraction, but it's relatively untouched by humans. Like they've tried to limit the human damage that we do. The only cars that are on the island are like delivery trucks and rubbish trucks to take rubbish out and bring food in. That's kind of it. And then everyone else is on a bike, so there's no fucking emissions and there's barely even bins anywhere because there's not really much of an opportunity to create rubbish. And it's like you're leaving the island the next day, put it in your pocket. And I'm finding fucking rubbish everywhere. People are going around and jabbing the quokkas with sticks. And it's like, the entire reason why you want to come to this island is because we haven't ruined it yet. And you're going to fucking... Oh, the quokkas are so friendly because they've spent so many generations being unharmed by humans. I'm going to poke it with a stick. You're going to ruin it. You're ruining it. It just annoyed me so much. I'm like biking around going, oh, this is beautiful. How amazing that this even exists at all. And I'm watching tourists jab fucking animals with sticks and leave wrappers everywhere. I'm like, this is fucked. Close the island. You know? I don't know. I just felt like, I'm like, how can you want to go here because of what it is and also damage it? It's like those two things to me can't exist. It's like, I want to go there because it's like this. I must preserve it. It's really weird. But it did feel good to yell at some kids that weren't mine. that'd be terrifying because I'm so fucking huge. And also I came out of the bushes. Like it wasn't like there were tourists everywhere. It was like me and this other Chinese family and they were on the path and I was sitting off the path, you know, probably about to get bitten by a snake, just riding. And I just crawled out of the bush like, hey, don't fucking do that. I didn't yell. I was stern, but you know, I'm 6'8". That counts as yelling.
Yeah.
I'm a giant man going, hey, don't fucking do that. Ooh, what, no. Anyway, you have a story. You're in Gold Coast, Keelan?
Yeah, I was in Gold Coast with a group of friends.
Stay tuned for after Keelan's story. I had a wonderful time in Perth doing my shows. but I did one gig that was not my show. It wasn't a Lewis Spears show. I did one, and it was the worst bomb of my career. And I'm stoked to tell you about it. But you go, Keelan.
Okay, so I was in Gold Coast with a group of friends, and a friend of mine. We have to come up with a fake name.
Michael.
Michael and yeah. I were out for lunch on our very, very first day before we even checked into the hotel.
And I love Michael.
Yeah, big fan of Michael.
Big fan of Michael.
And so I said, Michael, you've never...
You ever met someone who just doesn't say words?
Okay.
That's Michael. You know, you and you love him, but he doesn't say much.
Yeah, love him to bits, actually.
And you're like, what's going on in there? What's going on in that head of yours? Good things, bad things? And you go, what's going on? And they go, I don't know. And you're like, he actually doesn't. Okay. How are you feeling? Are you having a good day? Yeah. That's my. Everyone has a Michael who's like, what's going on in that little noggin of yours? And they can't tell you. And they don't know. And we love them for it.
So Michael, I said to him, what do you want to do while we're on Gold Coast? And he said, I want to do this, and get a full body massage.
Now that surprises me. Not the full body massage part, that checks out. The fact that he had things that he wanted to do. Because Michael's the type of guy where you're like, oh, what do you want to do? And he'd be like, what do you want to do? And you're like, well, we're here together. So do you have any ideas? We can't make the trip all about me because this is for us. What would you like to do? And then he goes, oh, I don't know. And then you go, all right, well, let's do something over here. And you go and do that thing. And and you're like, are you having fun? And he goes, I hate it. You know, why didn't you say something? And you're like, oh, I didn't want to. I'm like, did you know you were going to hate it? And he goes, yeah. And you're like, what's going on that little noggin of yours? And he goes, I don't know.
So he goes, full body massage. I say, yeah, right, mate. We're in Gold Coast. Of course you want a full body massage.
Yeah.
Because, of course,
that's
a happy ending.
Is a full body massage, that's like, it depends where you go, whether or not it ends with a...
Yeah, and I've been to a lot of places to get massages before, and they're always totally above board.
Yeah, yeah. And
I'll just say this off the top, there are a lot of red flags that because I'd been to get massages before, that I completely ignored.
Oh, no. Yeah, see, massages... If you want a massage, you should only go to the ones that are in shopping centers. I've kind of worked out. It needs to be a chain and it needs to be in a shopping center. Pretty much anywhere else, you're going to get a finger in the ass.
So I go, okay, well, I can't have a happy ending because I'm in a relationship, but I'll happily get a massage. And he convinced me. He convinced me so much that he didn't want a happy ending. He just wanted a massage.
Right.
And I naively believed him. I said, okay, Michael, you've been my friend for over a decade.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah.
So I go research.
Hand jobs with the boys.
Yeah, I researched. Yeah. I found the best massage parlor I could.
Yeah.
4.8 stars. So it's not five. It's not fake.
Yeah.
All the reviews being, I take my uncle here. Oh, not my uncle, my grandma here. I take my 80-year-old father here.
Yeah. This was the most platonic massage ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
We start walking.
But here's the thing, Keelan, all right? I'm listening to those reviews and I understand that from your point of view, you might be thinking that this is not an illegal brothel. However, I would like to remind you that you're on the Gold Coast. Yes. So all of those things, like in Melbourne, I'm like, yeah, sweet, whatever, no worries. But if you read those reviews and you were in Frankston, you'd be like, yeah, but it's still also a brothel. You're in Gold Coast.
And so you know me enough to know that when my mind is set on something, nothing will change it.
Mm-hmm.
I go, we're going to a beautiful, nice massage parlor that's totally above board.
Nothing and it's not a brothel.
Nothing will change this.
Yeah.
And we're walking. Google Maps gets us lost.
Yeah.
So I go, it's okay. We know what street it is. Let's say Beach Street.
Yeah.
We start walking up Beach Street and we see a massage parlor. I go, well, that must be. It was on this street. It must be this one.
So you want to do another one?
We walk in.
Oh, no.
And in retrospect, red flags everywhere.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Red lights, too.
It's dark. There's red lights.
Oh,
they're not playing meditation music. They're playing the radio. But all of these
Hey, it's Fitzy and Whipper. Let's get a hand job. Woo!
All of these things I completely ignored because I have had massages. And I've had massages in different countries.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, this makes...
Yeah, like I had a massage in Thailand and it didn't even end with an offer of a hand job. It just finished.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, cool.
And everywhere good. You go is slightly different. And this place actually looked above board.
Yeah.
So we've walked in and first read...
Sorry, that's not true. I misremembered. I walked into a massage place with my girl and there were signs everywhere that said no happy ending. And we're in like the main touristy bit. It would have been 11 a.m. So... and it's our first day there. So me and Jazz are like laughing, going, oh, look at these signs that say no happy, because everyone knows like that's the happy ending. So I point at the sign and I go, oh, no happy ending. People must ask for that a lot. And she goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, it's a good thing you got the sign. And she goes, oh, you won? And I was like, no. And she goes, oh, okay. And then she looks at my girlfriend and then we get into separate rooms. And then before the massage starts, she goes, you won? I went, no.
Yeah, well.
And she goes, okay. And then I got a lovely massage and did not come. So.
Kind of similar to my story, but not really. So anyway, they charge us $70 for however long it is. It's like an hour, which should have been a red flag of how cheap it was.
Yeah, that's cheap, isn't it?
But there was a $3 card surcharge, which should have been a major red flag.
That's interesting. Why is that there?
I don't, just to get extra money.
Yeah.
And she says to us, take these towels, go into your rooms, strip down to your underwear. Now, last time I got a massage, I didn't want to be weird, so I left my shorts on.
Yeah.
And then that was weird that I left my shorts on.
Mm.
So this is just a self-conscious thing. I was overthinking it. I was like, okay, I have to take my pants off.
Yeah.
I lay down, put the towel on, and then she comes in, gives me the best back massage.
Mm.
30 minutes of the best back massage ever.
Nice.
And the two women, my friend Mike was getting his massage, and... that lady's talking to my lady through the wall in their language. And then...
oh, they're foreign. Oh, no.
And then she's doing a great back...
wait, massage. So they can hear each other through the wall?
They're chatting to each other.
Right. So what you...
they're not talking like having a conversation, but they'll be like...
yeah.
You know, Bing Chilling kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Bing Chilling. So, you know, you're getting a massage and they're going, I can't believe I have to fuck this bloke.
And so she goes, turn over.
Yeah.
She whispers in my ear. I do thinking that.
The whisper. I don't like the whisper.
And then she goes, you want rub? And I said, what? I was like, no, like keep going. Thinking that she was trying to end the massage. I was like, no, keep going. And she's like, oh no, you want rub and gestures. And I was like, oh no, not for me. And then she starts bartering with me. She goes,
oh shit. She's trying to give you a discount.
She goes, 150? I was like, uh-uh. And she goes, 100? I was like, no. I started crossing my hands and saying, no, not for me. And then she gets all the way down to $30.
Oh, no.
And then she goes, your friend. And puts the thumbs up. Your friend, very good. And I just laughed and said, no. Him having a massage, him having a happy ending doesn't make me want to do it. She ends up giving me the worst massage for the next half an hour.
That's really funny that she knows how to give a really good back massage, but once the clients flip onto their front, she only knows how to give a good hand job.
And so I'll tell you as well, during these Asian massages, they do this thing where they slap your leg.
Yes.
And I could hear that quite a lot from the other room, thinking that he was just copying the same thing I was.
Yeah.
He wasn't. When we walked out... I said, oh, well, Michael, what did you do in there? What did you get? What do you think he got?
Oh, I mean the full service.
He had sex with her. Sex and a blowjob.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I no judgment. Think it's fucking awesome. Good on him.
So funny. It's fucking awesome if it was a legal brothel. If it was a couple of immigrants who didn't really speak English and weren't allowed to work, it's a little bit trafficky. Oh my God, that's so funny.
And then I was like, well, I've been hoodwinked here. So I looked up the Google reviews. Yeah. We didn't go to the nice massage parlor.
You went to the brothel.
Went to the brothel. The only review on that one says, one star, my husband went here, they offered him a happy ending.
And that is from an angry wife
Whose husband got a happy
ending? Whose husband said yes to the happy ending and then came home with an angry tale like, oh, I went to this bloody, I thought I was going to get a regular massage because he was smart enough to think, oh, this will show up on my debit card statement and if the wife sees it. Or she was like, hey, what's this charge? And he was like, I'm incensed.
So,
anyway. Or that's what you're doing. You know, you're just coming on the podcast and just preemptively putting an alibi out there because maybe someone took a photo of you as you came in. Oh, Keelan, why are you coming out of there for? It's a very famous massage parlor.
Totally all above board for me, but...
So funny.
Like, I couldn't text Phoebe about it because I was like, no matter how I tell her, this doesn't sound legit.
Yeah. I've never understood getting roots with your mate.
Yeah.
That's such a thing that, because, you know, I'm from Frankston. You hear about it a lot. Let's go to the broth. And like four of your mates will go together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to, firstly, I don't want to go by myself. I definitely don't want to go with the boys and be like, you know, like I'd much rather have dinner and because I feel like to me, I'm imagining it would be just like going for dinner. How was your meal? Oh, it was good. How was yours? I was a bit dry. How was yours? Oh, yeah, it was pretty good, but it had a weird texture and it smelled funny.
So
mine I felt was a bit old. You know, I think they just served up whatever they could. They probably should have thrown that one out. I think it was a bit too old to be served, that one.
Michael goes on to tell me, and good on him. Good on him.
How was yours? Oh, I don't really like raw fish.
That he and I had a totally different experience.
Yeah.
Where I laid down and I was comfortable and fine and got a great massage. Within moments, she had lifted his legs up, touched his balls, and then made him pay.
You know what's really funny? That, and I know Michael, to me, that means that you look like a guy who could be there just for a massage, so she had to politely ask and offer. He looks exactly like the type of guy who's there for the ball rub. So she didn't really have to ask. She just went for it.
Yeah, and that's it. So,
good on Michael.
Good on him.
And you know what? What's going on in there?
And also, I told him I was laughing so much when he told me, and I said, "You know, I'm telling this on a podcast."
That's really good.
And he said, "Yeah, that's fine."
Was this premeditated? Is this what he wanted, or did he like rise to the occasion?
I think he rose to the occasion because it does seem like he did genuinely want a full body massage.
Yeah,
and he just, you know, he took it as it came.
that's excellent. I had a great time in Perth. No full body massages, but I tell you what, I had a full body humiliation. I had the worst bomb of my career in Perth. Luckily, it wasn't at one of my shows. So when you do these festivals, it was Perth Fringe Festival. So there's comedy gigs going on all around, and if you can do a good 15 minutes and you have a bit of a name like me, you can get booked and paid to do a bunch of lineup shows where five comics will appear. So my first week, I was just messaging everyone running gigs and I booked in a bunch and I did a bunch of amazing shows with Corey White. He booked me for a bunch of shows and I smashed them and I did a bunch of others. Rory Lowe helped me organize heaps and I did my own shows as well. I did the Comedy Lounge there in Perth, which is a great club, by the way. You should go there if you're in Perth. Go to the Comedy Lounge, especially now during Perth Fringe. You'll see some awesome acts. So I've been doing those, and I've been doing really well. And I've been doing my own show, and it's been getting better every night because I'm just getting back into the groove of things, and I'm loving it. And then the final night of the whole run happens. It was a Saturday night, and I'm just stoked to be there. I'm like, this is awesome. This is my last night. I sold out. So I'm like, what a great end of the run. I was really nervous about doing shows at all in January because when did I start posting again? Like December? And I just started and then Rory messaged me and was like, hey, do you want to do, I've got 2 weeks of shows for you. And I was like, fuck, I wasn't planning to start until April in Melbourne. So I'm like, I don't know if I'll be able to sell tickets like to shows in January. I felt like it was way too close. Anyway, ended up breaking a personal best ticket sales record in Perth. So thank you so much to everyone who came out. I was so nervous. I was thinking like, man, if I break even on this thing, that'll be a huge win. But we ended up selling more tickets than I ever have in Perth. And I had an amazing time. So thank you to everyone who came out. So my own shows were great, but not all my shows were great. Not all my gigs were great. So the final night, I'm stoked to be there. I've had a great run. I've sold out. And then I get booked at the Comedy Lounge at 6:30 p.m. And then I have my own show at 7:30 p.m., right? And then I got booked again at the late show at the Comedy Lounge for 9:30 p.m. And then I had my final gig of the whole run at 10:30 p.m. It was a half-hour show that was organized by someone else, billed as like dark comedy. Like it's the late show. It's a Saturday night. This is going to be the darkest show you'll ever see during the festival. If you want to hear fucked up, crazy, taboo material for a half an hour, it's two comedians doing 15 minutes each. And I'm like, that's me. This will be so good. Because I've been working on this new bit about Stephen Hawking going to Epstein's Island. And I enact how I would imagine he would molest a child. That's the bit. Like, how does a severely disabled quadriplegic in a wheelchair molest a child? That's the joke. And I've been working on it. Now, 6:30 p.m., I do the Comedy Lounge. I fucking annihilated. I did this great, great set. The club owner was like, hadn't seen me for years, hadn't seen me pre-COVID, and was like, dude, that was awesome. Please come back at 9:30 and perform again. I was like, dude, this is awesome. Paid spot, made some money. Then I run over to my own show. I was on a roll. I did like an hour and 40 minutes and I annihilated the entire time. I did my new Stephen Hawking bit and it fucking crushed. However, I forgot to turn the cameras on for that first 20 minutes of the show where I did the Stephen Hawking bit. So I'm like, fuck, I got it. And I wanted to post it because it's current news. It's trending, right? I don't know if I'm going to be doing it in a few months. So I'm like, fuck, I have to do it again. Where am I going to do it? And then I thought, well, I've only got 7 minutes at the Comedy Lounge gig. I can't really do it there because it's a long bit. I don't want to start with that. You need to warm people up. Oh, that's right. I've got a dark comedy show and I'm doing 15 minutes. This will be perfect. They'll love it. So then I go, I annihilate my show, meet people afterwards. Everyone's super friendly. Everybody loved it. I was like, dude, that was the best one. And then I go back to the Comedy Lounge and I do my 7 minutes and I crush even harder than I did at the first one. I was like, dude, I've just done three of the best gigs ever. I'm so fucking good at comedy. I'm on a roll. I'm vlogging all of this, by the way, so you can see me. The vlog will be out by the time this episode comes out. Go watch it. It's on Lutu. I'm on a high. I'm like, I'm the greatest comic. I'm back. Because the first few gigs of my show that I did was a little bit rusty. The audience loved it, but I was in my head a little bit trying to get back into the swing of things because I hadn't performed since April last year. So I'm a little bit rusty. But now I'm in like final form. I'm doing great. I'm really like understanding how much quicker my brain is because I'm not so tired and I'm well now. And it's like, oh my God, I've taken the weights off. I'm so good now. I'm like the best version of myself. I'm going to fucking annihilate this final gig. And I was talking about this actually backstage at the second gig at the Comedy Lounge with a bunch of these other comics, just talking about how our festival runs were going. And they're like, how's your running? I'm like, man, I just did great at the first show. And another comic was there. I was like, man, you did great. I'd never seen you before. You did really well. I'm impressed. I'm like, thank you, dude. He was an older comic. So I'm like, awesome. And then I'm like, oh, I smashed my show. And then I just annihilated. And then I'm going, how funny would it be if the final gig of my night, the final gig of Perth Fringe, how funny would it be if I just bombed? And they were like, don't say that. That's not going to happen. I'm like, yeah, of course that's not going to happen because it's a dark comedy. This is going to be great. Anyway, I leave. I get off stage at the lounge at like, I think by the time I got off stage, because I was on third or fourth, it was like 10:20. The next gig starts at 10:30. So I message the people. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be there on time, but I sprint. It's like a 10-minute walk. I run. I get there in 7 minutes.
Did you track it?
No, I didn't track it because that's not in the spirit of the fucking competition, you cheater. All right? If I did, if I tracked all my fucking frantic runs from gig to gig, This is what I mean.
That's the
I did about fucking 10 kilometers of walking that night. I didn't track any of it.
But that's like if you're running.
And that's not a workout. That's me going to a gig. I was in a jacket and jeans and boots. That's not working out. All right. I'm going to disqualify you. You cheated. So anyway, I didn't even bring my Apple Watch because I'm like, oh, I'm working. I'm not working out. Maybe I'll do a workout in the gym and log that. And I did. I go to this gig, right? I just get there and there's only 30 people. And I'm like, ooh, 30 people. I don't know about this. But it's really small rooms. I'm like, okay, well, it might be all right. And then I get up on, I'm like, okay, well, let's go. I just arrived. I had some water. I'm sweating. I'm like, that's all right. I'm going to fucking annihilate. And then the guy running the MC of the gig is like, are you going to introduce yourself? And I was like, no, dude, like I need someone else to intro me. And he's like, oh, okay. So he gets on, he's just a sound guy. He gets on the mic and he does just the worst intro. He plays music way too low. It's really quiet. And he's like, all right, welcome to the show. Welcome to the stage. Your act, Lewis Spears. And people are like, oh, it's Starnie? And I'm like, whatever. I'll win him over. I start with my silly stuff, dude. When I tell you that those 30 people fucking hated me, I don't think I have ever experienced disdain. I've done some bad gigs before. I've done gigs where I've gone up and I haven't gotten laughs. I've never done a gig where 30 people in the crowd were like, no, we actually fucking hate you. Dude, silence. They were staring at me, blank faces. Every time I hit a punchline, I'd be like, and the funny bit. They would look at each other and go, it's like, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you try something new and you go, this is yuck. They were doing those ones to each other about me. And then I'm like, or maybe I'm going too dark here. And I go, do you guys know, like they turn on me and I just start going rogue. I'm like, you guys bought tickets to like the dark comedy show, yeah? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, this is what it is. Like I'm doing what I'm paid to do here. I'm doing the dark stuff. What you guys are doing right now is you've walked into an Indian restaurant and you ordered the spicy food. And when I said Indian, they were like, oh, great, now he's being racist. And I'm like, no, it's an analogy. You guys have walked into the Indian restaurant and gone, can I have your spiciest dish? It's come out and you've gone, oh, actually, oh, it's too hot. I don't like it. This is what you've paid for. I'm delivering what you asked for and you guys aren't liking it. When I say 30 people weren't liking me, that's wrong. There was a group of two girls on my left that were loving me. And they were so good. They were like, no, everyone else is, woo, we like you. And then there was another two girls on my right, like right at the back, that were giggling and laughing and bumping each other. They were loving it. Everyone else, 26 of the others were hating me. I was doing, dude, at one point, I hit my punchline. You know my stuff about being tall. That's one joke that I can pull out anywhere in any situation and it will just go great in any scenario. Young people, old people, my fans, strangers. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pull back from the dark stuff. I'm going to do like my guaranteed hitter. Silence. And at that point, I'm like, okay, well, now I know that you guys are wrong. And I hit the punchline of my tall stuff, which always annihilates. Silence other than these two here and those two there. And then I just stand there and I just stare at them and I go, you guys fucking hate me. I go, I'm up here trying my very best and you guys fucking hate me. And I go, you know what's funny about this? I did these same jokes at three other gigs and I did really well. So I know that you guys are wrong. This stuff is really funny and you guys don't like it and that's okay, but I want you to know that you're wrong and I'm gonna do the rest of my 15 minutes because this is what I was paid to do. And then I point at these two girls and I go, these girls are loving it. They go, yeah, woo! I'm like, and these girls are loving it, woo! This woman over here fucking hates me and she goes, yeah, I do. And I go, and you know what, guys? the rest of my set is for these two girls and these two girls. You are the rest of you guys, whatever. So anyway, I can't imagine how Stephen Hawking could molest a child. And I go into this bit, I go, look, I'm not saying that he definitely didn't do it. I'm just saying that I definitely can't imagine how he did. And I literally go, you know, he has that expression on his face. Maybe he has that expression because all of his energy one day went into moving a digit into a minor. Silence. Just abject fucking silence. And I go, hey guys, this is what it is for the rest of my time.
Did you film this?
Yeah, so I filmed it. I can't release all of it because it's too embarrassing, but I will. There's segments on it on my vlog channel. It'll be up by the time this episode comes out. And dude, there will be one bit that I will put in for sure where I just, about halfway through, I just sit there and I just stand there and I stare at them. And I'm smiling, by the way. I didn't get angry. I didn't get embarrassed. Like, I just knew that it was not me. Because when you're a comedian, all right, you have to do 100 gigs before you can blame one audience. All right, if you bomb 100 times, 99 of those, it's your fault. But there is 1 in 100 bombs that it's absolutely not your fault at all. And you can also only earn that 1 in 100 after you've been doing comedy for like 10 years. Then you know, you've been doing comedy for long enough that you know without a shadow of a doubt that 1 out of 100 bad gigs has nothing to do with you. It's just them. And that was mine. So I have to bomb 100 more times before I can blame the crowd. All right? I'm cashing it in now. It was them, not me. And I, dude, there's one bit, oh, you'll see it in the vlog. I just stand there in silence for like, no joke, about 15 seconds, not saying anything. And then people start laughing. I'm like, oh, good. That's the only time you guys are going to laugh when I'm saying nothing? Anyway, Stephen Hawking molesting children. Like, to be honest, I did the Stephen Hawking stuff towards the end of my set, and I'll be real, it was malicious. Like, if I was there and it was a normal gig that was going like okay or whatever, I was like, there's no way I can do the Stephen Hawking stuff. It's too dark. But I was like, you know what? They hate me. I'm just going to make them hate me even more. And they did. They hated it so much. And here's what's really funny about it. Is that I was the first act in a half hour show. There was only one other comic. He had to go on after me. I had been bombing for 15 minutes. I've had bad gigs. I don't think I've ever bombed for 15 minutes. Like in my head, I'll do 5 minute spots, 10 minute spots. And a bomb for me is like, oh, they didn't laugh for 2 minutes of that. So this joke isn't good. Or sometimes in a 5 minute, they just won't like you very much. Some people will, some people won't. I've never been on stage for 15 minutes and just not gotten them even once. Not even once. It was just these two girls and those two girls. 26 other people were like, this is horrible. It's so funny. It was the, you know when Buzz Lightyear is like, it's not flying, I'm falling with style.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. I was bombing with style, like just smile on my face going, this is what it is. Fuck you. It's like I was a chef just feeding people poo and going, isn't it yummy? Don't you like that? This is a delicacy in some places. I just worked at 3 other restaurants tonight and they loved it. And then the next guy goes on and dude, they loved him. They loved him. And I think they loved him because he was not me. He did so well. Well, he did. Look, he did. You know what he did? He got up there and he started dancing to MP3s. And the songs were about farts and poos. And that's what they wanted. They didn't want silly. See, and I, thinking back on it, I have consistently bombed at dark comedy gigs. I'm thinking back to when I've bombed, it's always been at dark comedy ones. And I don't understand it because I'm giving them what they wanted. But the most sensitive audiences I've performed to have always been these dark comedy ones. I don't know what it is. I don't know what, if they don't know what dark comedy really is. Like, if maybe to them dark comedy means like stuff about sex or poo or like gross. I don't know what it is, because I did the same material. Like when we talked about it with Amos Gill on our episode, he's like, I hate those gigs because I just like, I don't do dark material. That just is the stuff that I talk about. Like, that's just I don't have dark jokes. I just have my material. And I'm very similar where it's like, I definitely have some silly stuff that a 5-year-old could love, but but most of my stuff is like dark. Right. And, it's just so weird that people get me on these gigs. I'm like, oh, dark comedy. People will love Lewis. And then I get up and I just fucking bomb because I offend them. So anyway, I finished the gig. And that's, by the way, my last gig of the Perth Fringe. It's the worst bomb I've had in my career. Like, so bad where I, because the guy that booked me, the guy who's paying me, he was not there, right? So you kind of, how it works is you get put in a group chat and he goes, here's how the night is going to run. My group chat, right? He said, he sends us, let me pull up this group chat. He sends us like all of the information about the gig and he goes, notes for the opening act. This is me. Thank them for coming, which I did. The crowds have been very up for the show and adult content. You have to remind them what type of show they've bought tickets to and get them revved up for a night of dirty and dark material and then go into your favorite adults-only jokes. So, like, even the guy running it is like, tell them it's going to be fucked. I did, and they hated it. So I don't know what they thought they bought tickets for, but anyway, right? I finish, and he wasn't there, so he didn't see it. So normally what happens when you do gigs for people is you message them, you go, thanks so much, man. Here's how it went. Here's my invoice. I said, mate, not going to lie, they fucking hated me. I really tanked. Sorry, buddy. I did really well for 3 other crowds with the same material, but they did not like me at all at yours. I'm like, I can't even invoice this, man. That's how badly I did. And he goes, I appreciate your honesty, man. Not a lot of people would do that. And he goes, did you do dirty material and dark stuff? I'm like, yep. 4 people loved it. Rest of them hated it. I don't know. Anyway, then I just fucking went to bed. I was like, fuck this, whatever. The other 3, I tried to delete that gig from my memory. Anyway, the next day, right, the other comedian who was on the gig, God bless his soul, puts in the group chat and goes, Lewis was being really funny, but whoever was running the night left all of the lights on and didn't intro him properly, and the music was blah, blah, blah. So all the lights were on, not just the stage lights, the house lights. So the audience was lit up. I couldn't tell because I'm looking at lights, so I can't tell how bright or dark the crowd is. So I was just performing like on stage to a fully lit up, really bright room. And you wouldn't think that it would make a difference, but it does. And I just got sabotaged by the lights. And you know what happened when the second guy got on? They turned the lights off. And that's why he did well. And it's nothing to do with me. It's just the lights. That's what, in my head, that's what I now believe. It was just the lights.
Lights do make such a massive difference, though.
You wouldn't think they do, but it really does. Like, think about, like, your favorite comedian and just imagine them telling the joke on the street with no microphone, no stage, no lights. It's so much less funny. So happy ending. Room runner apologized to me.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Get paid.
I have to invoice him, but it's going to be one of those like, hey man, I did a really bad job. Can I have $150?
Yeah.
Hey, I did 15 minutes. I did what I was asked to do. So yeah, that vlog is up. If you want to watch me, if you want to watch my night turn from I love comedy to, oh my God, like what happened? It's a good one and it's up now. I'm going to end it there, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to continue on with the Patreon podcast right now. It's up right now if you want to check that out. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who came out to Perth. So much fun. So amazing. Really do appreciate it. And Melbourne is up next in April. all the way through the second half of April, or the first half of April, sorry. And then I'm in Adelaide and Sydney. Those are on sale, but there'll be more coming on sale in the coming weeks as well. So check it out, loosebeers.com. If you want to find out when I'm coming to you, type in loosebeers.com/giglist, put your city in, and I'll send you a message when I'm on the way. Thank you so much. We'll continue on Patreon. And yeah, I'll see you at a show. I hope you have a shit one. Bye.